But all right, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center. Today I've got Todd Hallinan with me from the Christian Growth Center, and we are going to be talking about alignment with your assignment. So Todd is a good friend. He's been coming into the gym with me for a while here, and he's the guy that I've gone to several times now when I get ideas for books or things like that, or an idea that I want to talk through. He's the guy that can kind of, he can pull it out. And he's a good guy. I value his opinion and perspective on things. And he has a series, and correct me if I'm wrong, Todd, but you've got a series that you've done in your church called Alignment with Your Assignment. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah, we spent about, maybe 18 weeks.
18 weeks.
Yeah,
wow, I don't think I realized it was that long.
Yeah. It went by different titles, you know. Okay. So everyone was titled that. But yeah, we talked about that for about 18 weeks.
Okay. So what's the, if you were going to give us the, we're talking about getting aligned with our assignment, what is the Cliff Notes? Where do we start, I guess? What's the Cliff Notes version here? We don't have 18 weeks, so.
Well, I guess, you know, in reference to the church, the body of Christ, I mean, you got to go back to Jeremiah 29, right? 29:11, that says, you know, that God has a plan for all of us. I've got it referenced here. It says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." So, you know, we have to understand, I believe, first, that we have an assignment in this earth. You know, understanding that is the first and foremost part of getting in an alignment with that assignment. So if you don't know if you have an assignment, you can't get in alignment with it. Mm-hmm. So getting that assignment first and understanding that is the first part, I would say. Yeah.
Okay. So I think that's the first, I guess, is understanding that we're here for some purpose. We have an assignment that we're called to.
Yeah.
Talk about, I use that word alignment. That's a word that we use sometimes in the blueprint with some things as well. What is that? How do we get ourselves aligned with it? Because that's different than, I mean, there's people talk about finding their purpose, but getting aligned with your assignment, that's a little bit different.
Right. Well, I guess, you know, the way we talk about it, and I'll just give you a definition of alignment. Says the proper positioning or state of adjustment of parts in relation to each other. So, you know, it's just like, let's take this into the secular world. Let's go out of the church world and take it into the secular world. If you're looking at a company has many different functioning parts, right? I mean, and none of those parts, the company wouldn't be successful without any one of those parts. I mean, if you got a manufacturing facility and you're producing something, well, if you're producing something and you can't ship it out, then it does no good. And if you don't have you know, order takers placing orders for parts that they need to make it to produce it, then you're not going to have anything to produce. So that definition, you know, proper positioning or state of adjustment of parts in relation to each other. And then if you take that over into the body of Christ, you know, Ephesians talks about the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament. It grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So when you talk about getting in alignment with your assignment, I believe you have to consider the body as a whole and not just look at your particular assignment, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. 'Cause it all works together.
Yeah.
It works together. Getting in alignment works together, the whole body of Christ coming in alignment and functioning as it should.
So it sounds like there's an element of finding your individual thing or assignment or gifting or whatever that may be, but then you gotta align it or submit it to the bigger vision. Is that
submit it to the bigger vision. Yeah, I guess you could word it that way. I mean,
okay.
Submit it to the bigger vision. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's when I think of alignment, one of the concepts I think about is is order. You talk about everything being in the right place. I mean, I think that's one of the definitions we use for order in the blueprint. So what role does that play in creating more order and structure as far as being able to get in alignment and find this assignment?
Well, you know, Jesus talks about, the church is the body of Christ, right? And he goes in and says, you know, how can the hand say to the foot, you know, you're unnecessary? Or, you know, if all were an eye, you know, where would the rest of the body be? They wouldn't be functioning properly. So getting in an alignment with your assignment. So if you're functioning as a foot, but you're supposed to be a hand, mm-hmm. the body's not going to operate too well. We did something one time at church with the music team. You know, everybody's gifted to play different instruments. We had a guitarist, we had a keyboardist, we had a drummer. Well, we mixed all of them up. You know, the guitarist went back and played drums. The drummer came up, played the guitar, and you know, some of the singers tried to play the keyboard. And guess what? It didn't sound very good.
Yeah.
Because they were not in their assignment. They were still a team. They were still up there. They were all part of the same team, but they were not operated in their specific gift or their specific assignment.
Okay.
And it didn't go well, as you can imagine. So I think recognizing that gift, and then once you recognize the gift, again, you know, we all have a purpose. We all have an assignment of God, from God. Once we recognize that, and then getting that gift in alignment with the rest of the body of Christ, that's when you see progress being made to spread the kingdom in the earth.
Okay. Yeah. So what's the, so you said first we got to find that gift. So how do we find it? I know one of the things that I've been, was just reading in Proverbs the other day, and it says that a purpose is in the deep waters of a man's heart.
Yeah.
And he draws it out with his words.
Yeah.
And so I've been thinking about a couple concepts of just, you know, you pull it out with your words, you could speak it, you could write it, you could do those types of things. But also, I was actually telling Crystal the other day that I was reminded of it when I saw that word, that you draw it out. When I first started to see the Abundant Life Blueprint, I was actually kind of walking and praying with God and started to draw the picture as I was doing that. I'm actually drawing and doodling and doing some of those types of things too.
Yeah.
And
if you put that with Proverbs 25, it says it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, mm-hmm. but the glory of kings to search it out. Mm-hmm. So us being kings and priests in this earth, we're to search out what our assignment is.
Mm-hmm.
Hidden that, and I believe he's hidden it in his word. So first and foremost, I would think you'd have to go to his word and search it out in his word. As you read the word and you see yourself in the word, and then, like you're saying, Dan, speak it out with your mouth. I mean, we all know, you know, he created the earth and everything in it with words.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that words are creative, words are powerful. So as we see ourselves, I believe, in the word, we speak that out as we see our assignment, I guess, in the word. We speak that out, and that helps to bring that us into alignment with other people that are doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Body of Christ. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. So, I mean, it sounds like, I mean, the biggest key when you really break it down is just seeking.
Seeking, yeah, time with the Lord. You cannot substitute time with the Lord. There's no substitute.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, listen to enough people. You can't read enough books. You can't spend enough time sitting in church pew. You have to, I believe, get alone with God, that alone time, that quiet time, mm-hmm. and seek him. And then, of course, you know, preparation time. Preparation time is never wasted time. And I believe preparation time comes by reading his word directly. You know, not listening to what someone else is saying about his word,
yeah.
but going to the source. Go to the source and read it for yourself. Because if you're born again, I mean, and, you know, I don't know what your audience here is, but if you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. And that Holy Spirit is going to interpret the words on the pages to your heart. He'll discern the truth to you. in other parts.
He's going to show you the things that you need to see.
He'll show you the things. He'll lead and guide you and teach you all things. Yeah.
I think it's, you know, if you just keep showing up and seeking and you're diligent in that, he'll continue to unfold, I think, higher and higher level. I think, too, the further you press into it, the more your assignment kind of even unfolds. I mean, there's always another level of it, I think, too, as you continue to seek in it. But
yeah, I think so. I think, Ephesians chapter 4 talks about how he's given, you know, gifts to the body. He talks about, you know, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers for the building up, for the equipping of the body. And I think that you can be called to one of those assignments, but those assignments can change. I believe we have seasons, you know, not always. Some people, I believe, are called to be a pastor their entire life. Some people fulfill other areas of that fivefold ministry, if you will, as their season changes. You know, take Pastor Rob, for instance, pastored for, you know, 30-some years, and when we transitioned, I believe he stepped into that office of the apostle, where he goes, and now he builds up other ministers, you know, all throughout the country. So I think there are seasons or transitions of assignments.
Sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. I think so. So how do we begin to seek, we begin to find, you know, our assignment? How do we know when we found what we're supposed to be doing? Like, what are our indicators? What are the symptoms of knowing that we're on track with that?
Well, peace is a major one. I always say peace is a great umpire. So if you have peace about it, and when you're operating in that assignment, if there's peace there, I think that's a great indicator.
Mm-hmm.
You're on the right track. If there's anybody following you, I mean, that's probably a good telltale. You know, I mean, if you're pastoring a church and you're speaking to the chairs, you might not be in your correct assignment. You know, so I think that can be an indicator as well, as who's following, who's listening, who's applying what you're saying. Mm-hmm. You know, are you operating? You know, James says we got to be doers. You know, doers of the word, not hearers only. So we have to not only find what our assignment is by getting ourselves in alignment with that assignment, we got to do it. You know, we got to put feet to the pavement.
Yeah. So it's one thing to find it, and then it's another to walk in it.
It's true. There's a big difference, you know. I bet there are a lot of people out there today that believe they're supposed to be doing something, but they will never venture out and do it.
So what do you think keeps them from going for it?
I think fear is the biggest roadblock for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Fear of the unknown, you know. Or believe in the lie, you know, that you're not good enough. There's no way you could do that. What makes you think you could do that? You've never operated in that before. You don't know enough. You know, all these things that the enemy, I believe, tries to bring against us.
Mm-hmm.
To tell us that we can't do it.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, believing what the word says, what, you know, whose report you're going to believe.
Yeah.
Believe what the word says, you know, that you could do all things.
Mm-hmm.
Christ who strengthens you. So.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're right. I think it probably is a combination of fear and probably self-doubt, whatever you want to call it, condemnation of just not feeling like you're capable. And the truth being told, if it's something God called you to do, it's probably something bigger that looks impossible or challenging to do. And it's going to take a step of faith to step into it, more than likely.
Right.
And that looks scary.
Yeah. And I think people's pasts hold them up too. I really, you know, we've been talking a lot about righteousness lately, and I really believe the body of Christ doesn't have a full understanding of their righteousness mm-hmm. in Christ, their right standing with God because of Christ, because of his shed blood. Because if they did, there would be no fear, right? I mean, they would step out into whatever God has called them to because, you know, they have right standing with him. And when you have right standing with him, you have his promises available to you. Mm-hmm. I think, fear of their past, I used to do this and how could I do that now? I used to operate in the world this way. You know, who's going to pay attention to me now? Especially those that knew me before.
Old people up. That's probably a big, I think, I heard it was a business coach. I think it was Dan Sullivan one time. He said, most people, when they're looking at what their assignment, vision, whatever you want, he would use different terms probably because he's in the business world. But he said, most people look back at the past to see if they're capable of pulling it off.
Right.
And he talks about one of the things is setting a 10 times bigger goal. Because he said, if you make your goal too small, you'll look back at the past to see if you're capable of doing it. But if you set a 10 times bigger goal, you don't have any reference point for that. So right.
That's good. Yeah. I mean, you're trying to gauge your future on past performance, I guess, mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, we were doing this, you knew about it. I think the Isaiah 61:3 fat loss challenge and kind of the conclusion I came to in that was that the two biggest things that keep people from getting where they're supposed to be are number one, just not getting started. Cause it's whatever, I can't do it. I'm not capable. It's not the right time. Whatever, some reason why they're not getting started. And then number two is once you get started, Jesus says the path that leads to life is narrow. And it's you get knocked off of your rhythm and you never get back on. We're the two biggest things why people struggle with it. I think that's probably applicable in this case as well.
Yeah, I think so. And distractions. I mean, there's so many things to distract us away from our assignment, our God-given assignment. Anyways, yep. There's just so much out there that can distract us from. And distract us to something else, I believe.
So how do we keep focused on the target rather than getting pulled off a track? Some of the guys like Jerry Savelle or Bill Winston, some of these guys, they talk about, if an airplane's flying on autopilot, it gets one degree off track, it ends up in a completely different destination. And it talks about the autopilot is constantly making these little course corrections every couple minutes because winds and things like that are constantly trying to push it off track. What can we use to keep us moving forward rather than getting pulled off of, because it's even that 1% off a little bit pulls us to a different destination.
I like that word that you use, course corrections. And when you said that immediately, that verse, the renewing of your mind. You got to constantly be renewing your mind to the washing of the water of the word. So obviously the word is your first, that's your anchor. Mm-hmm. That is your anchor that you always can go back to get back on target. but also, just speaking to distractions that can take us away from our assignment. I believe you have to sometimes, draw that line in the sand. And just say, I am not going past this line. Whatever it may be, the easiest example that comes to me is, we have young families and their kids are all involved in sports. And, the sports these days are different from the sports of my days. We didn't have travel leagues and all that. And now they're playing more and more on Sundays. Mm-hmm. So that's, a distraction, I believe, that's taken them away. They haven't made that decision. No, I'm not going to let this take away from, this. And then it's not to say that you can't have both. That was just kind of an example.
It's interesting you bring that up because just the other day, God reminded me of that verse. And I sent out emails about it today, about if you're double-minded, you can't expect to receive anything because you're unstable in all your ways. And you think about this idea of being unstable. You don't have a firm foundation underneath you. And the storms and the pressure and the busyness of life is going to knock you over when you're double-minded. And I think it's interesting. I was working on some inventions, and I got a guy that's a scientist that was helping me with some inventions a while back. And we did a consultation with this lady at Virginia Tech, who was, I think, a neuroscientist or something like that, because we're trying to understand how the body works a little bit more. And she was talking about how the way your nerve impulses work in the body, it's an all or nothing thing. Either the message is sent or it's not. It's either on or it's off. There's no in between at all. And that's, she talked about that being the action potential in there. It's when the muscles fire, it's either they fire or they don't. There's no in between on them.
No halfway firing. Huh?
No halfway firing. Yeah. No lukewarm firing. Right. And so I was thinking about her the other day when I heard that from the Lord again, is if you're double-minded, it's almost like you got to, like you said, draw the line in the sand. You know what? I'm going to do this. Because I think a lot of times we get double-minded. We're thinking, all right, we see what God said, but then we see what's going on in the world, and we're wavering back and forth between what we see and what we're, right. what we're seeing in the Word.
Right.
And we get unstable because we're going back and forth between those, when you got to just say, you know what?
That's right. I mean, you got to make that commitment, you know, and mm-hmm. just and go with it. I mean, and, you know, and another thing too, Dan, I think that keeps people from getting in alignment with their assignment is they're doing too many things. They're out there trying to fulfill so many or wear so many different hats. Mm-hmm. And when they do that, it's twofold. So they're not being able to operate at a level of excellence in their assignment because they're trying to do too many assignments, and they're taking away that assignment from someone else that should be operating. And that goes back to the body, you know, coming together and every part adapted mm-hmm. so that it's functioning properly. If you're doing more than one assignment or you're fulfilling more than one part, then you're not allowing someone else to come in and
yep.
fulfill their assignment, take that part, which they're supposed to be doing. And so, you know, you're all cattywonk again.
You got an ear trying to be a hand.
Or you're trying to be both.
You're trying to be both, an ear and a hand.
You're trying to be both. You're trying to be all the different body parts. And, you know, you got this foot yep. out there saying, hey, I'm supposed to be the foot. Let me be the foot.
You know? So. Yep. Well, you know, you helped me with – we did some back and forth on my book, The Eighth Date, which is almost done now. And one of the big topics we discussed in that was – being committed, you know, so there's that drawing the line in the sand of being committed to yeah. your one thing. But that's hard for us. We talked about that's hard for us because if I'm going to focus on my one thing, that means I have to trust that the people around me are going to do yeah. what they're supposed to do.
Right.
And I have to be able to trust that they're going to do their part too.
Yeah.
Because if I don't think they're going to do their part, then I feel like I got to compensate for them. And now I'm doing too many things.
Right. That's like the eye looking straight ahead and saying, all right, foot or feet, you know, come on, let's go this way. But if feet aren't gonna go, you're just gonna fall on your face. Mm-hmm. It's kind of that interdependence, you know, and that's really what you know, when we were talking about that eighth day, we had mentioned the idea about community. How do we build community? How do we mm-hmm. structure community?
And
that's all part of that as well.
You
have to do your part, and you have to trust and believe that, you know, someone else is doing their part
yeah.
so that you can function as a whole.
When I think, you know, that verse you referenced already, and I think it's in Ephesians, is it Ephesians 4, where it talks about the body builds itself up in yes. love?
Yes.
You know, it says when each part is doing their work, that's when the body
that's builds. Right.
But for each part to do its work, that means you got to trust, you got to do your part, but you got to be able to trust. And how do we get, because that's a scary thing sometimes yeah. to say, I'm just going to do this. and I'm going to let these other things go. And
what part's scary, you think? Trusting others or trying to?
I think for a lot of people, yes, it's maybe getting to the point where you can trust those people around you possibly.
Well, and that's what it says, building itself up in love. In fact, I thought I was looking for another scripture reference. I don't think I pulled it out. but it talks about I didn't pull it out. It, but it's that idea of building yourself up in love and trusting your brother in the Lord to do his part, I guess, or her part. I have to go back and get that.
But. You know, whenever we talk about this concept, I'm reminded I was watching a college football game one time, and Notre Dame was playing somebody, and the head coach for Notre Dame, Brian Kelly, for those of you that watch football, it was like a halftime speech, and Notre Dame was not playing very well in the first half, and he's talking to his guys, and he says, "You got to do your job, and you need to trust that the guy next to you is doing his job, because you guys are trying to do each other's jobs."
Right, that's teamwork. Right? I mean, that's football. I mean, if the guard is blocking his man and the tackle just lets his come through, a sack will result. But you have to trust all the members on your team. Mm-hmm. And guess what? We're all part of the same team, the body of Christ, but we all have individual assignments that we're to be operating in, or individual gifts, you could even say, that we're to be operating in to fulfill that. I think another translation says making our supply. I think that's how they word it. You know, every person has to be making their supply to the body.
That's interesting. I haven't heard that translation on that. Making their supply. So it's their contribution to the body. They're doing their part, I guess, is the
doing their part. I mean,
I hadn't heard that translation. So in essence, a lot of this, to really get into alignment with our assignment, we have on the Abundant Life Blueprint, we talk about the two rooms of the house that balance each other, are purpose and community, and they go together. And you have to have both to make either one of them work, really.
Right.
What are the tie-ins? So we find, we seek, we get in the Word, we find our purpose, we find our one thing that we're supposed to be doing. How do we integrate this into the community? How do we begin to build that community around us, or get aligned where everybody knows their role and they're functioning together? How do we begin to make that happen?
That's a great question. How do we do it? I believe it has to be done in love. I mean, that, Jesus said, you will be known by your love for one another. Mm-hmm. So you'll be known as part of that community by your love for one another. So, and love, it's interesting because I asked the question last week, I think it was, what was God doing before creation? Mm. What was he doing? And if you look in the book of John, it says he was loving Jesus. He was loving Jesus. So that hasn't changed. He's still loving Jesus. And if you look in, I think it's John 17, chapter 17, talks about, the Father, Jesus being in the Father in Jesus, and we in Jesus. We want to be one just as they are one. Mm-hmm. And I'm paraphrasing terribly. But
okay.
it's that love, I think, that binds it all together. That makes it all work together. I mean, because if you're not walking in love with someone, I don't think you're going to be able to trust that person. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're going to be able to encourage them and lift them up to be doing their assignment. And they're not going to be, that's not going to be reciprocated to you if you're not walking in love. So I don't know. That might not be the answer you're looking for. But
I mean, I think probably love is one of the prerequisites, because one of the things I've been working on this community blueprint, and one of the concepts we've been talking about, so we followed some of the pathways that we had in the book Cracking Heaven's Code and some of those types of things. The emotional state that goes with community is security. Mm. And when you feel secure, you're more externally focused and in love and present and these types of things. And I think it's almost that idea of when people experience that almost unconditional love, that they're more willing to embrace community in their, in their life. They're more willing to contribute. They're more willing Because a lot of times people will isolate themselves or hide, or because they don't feel safe. They don't feel the unconditional love type of thing.
Yeah. Or judgment, you know, they don't want to step out in their assignment for fear of judgment from their brother or sister or someone else in the community.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that goes back to fear again, you know, but you don't want, you know, we're trying to see what will stimulate this community that we're talking about.
So, of course, perfect love casts out fear, too. So I've actually been working on this community blueprint. So a couple of ideas. Actually, I was going to try to get your opinion on these at some point anyway. So, but one of the concepts that's been kind of standing out to me is this concept of elders, kind of chief leaders or chief people, the main leader. And then the Bible talks about like having scribes or almost like administrators that are getting the messages out and that type of thing. What's the framework you think for how kind of the levels inside of a community, what that's supposed to look like?
Levels inside of community. You could go to Timothy and see a lot of, that talks about church structure. Mm-hmm. So if you're talking about the community of church, you know, it addresses it there. I guess the bigger question is, can you take that model and apply it to anything, you know, like business or what have you? I don't know. That's a good question. I've never thought about it that way before.
Yeah. I think it was in Timothy. I was just reading the other day. It was talking about Paul tells Timothy that the gift that was given to him when the elders laid their hands on him.
Yeah, when Paul actually laid his hands on him, you know, he says the gift that was in your mother and your grandmother, I see in you also. Mm-hmm.
So what? So how do we? I know you talked about alignment with your assignment. So we're finding our thing.
Yeah.
You know, we gotta get up to speed. We gotta get started with it, kind of overcome the fear and get started with it. And then we gotta trust that other people are doing everything, but we all gotta be aligned together towards something, right?
Right.
How do we know what's the thing that allows us to all align together? So we know who goes where and who, how it all fits together.
It's a great question.
Is it common vision? Is it?
I think it has to be. You know, common vision has to play a part, right? I mean, you said to cast the vision, write it down, make it plain, so that those that read it can run with it. So certainly, common vision has to be a part of that community. And they have to know what that vision is. You know, it has to be well articulated to where they understand it, I would think, make sure that they're all running in the same direction, right?
Yeah. So,
I don't know.
Well, we've talked about the liquid crystals example before,
right?
About how these liquid crystals, you got to put a boundary around them first. And then you got to create alignment with them. And there's two ways you can do that: by scratching the glass, or you can shine a polarized light across the glass. And then the crystals have the freedom to move about freely inside of that, but they're all aligned and moving in the same direction.
Yeah, I like that idea of boundaries. If we think of, say, the Word of God is our boundary, and how do we operate within that boundary?
Yep.
Go outside of it, but yet we are free to move within that boundary, free to move in our assignment, free to step out in faith. I mean, you know, faith has to come in there somewhere, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So, you know, as you are finding out your assignment and you are trying to get into alignment with that assignment, I think there's going to be points or steps of faith that you're going to have to take in order to move that along towards the common goal, the common vision. And then you have to have faith that your other team members are going to be doing the same thing, right?
So,
I don't know. That's kind of a sidebar to that, maybe.
No, that's okay. So it's I'm just trying to think through the alignment question. You know, so I think, you know, the question we were trying to answer before, how do you course correct, is probably the boundary is the word. You know, the Bible talks about it's the double-edged sword of the word. So you got boundaries on both sides of you, kind of keeping you inside the boundary, moving you forward. And then, you know, we talk about aligning with the light. You know, I mean, I guess biblically you're aligning yourself with what you're seeing and there, and allowing, I guess, God to place you where he sees fit.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's interesting you say the light, because we know that God is light. So if you're aligning with the light, you're aligning with God.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it does say, you know, we touched on it briefly, Ephesians 4:12, I think it is, you know, he's placed in the body, you know, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why did he do that? For the perfecting and equipping of the saints. So if you're out of alignment, or if you're, if you don't know your assignment, you need to be tapping into some of these gifts to get perfected, to get equipped. You know, perfecting, I see perfecting as getting in alignment with God, or unity of faith, and equipping, getting in alignment with your purpose, you know, in line with your purpose, so that you're working properly. Each part is working properly in the body. So that is probably part of trying to, you know, one, find your assignment and get in alignment with it, is seeking out these gifts that have been given to us to help us along the way, I guess. Yeah.
So some of it, it sounds like you're saying, is almost acknowledging, you know, one of the concepts in the 8th day, I actually have a chapter on alignment. We talk about, I used to work with chiropractors for a while, and whenever a physical body is out of alignment, you know, one of the first things that happens is the communication to that area of the body gets shut off. It's one of the things that happens, and you get pain and poor supply of blood and nutrients and, you know, all these types of things when you get misalignment happening. But we talk about one of the keys to alignment is submitting to authority, whether that's to the local pastor, to God first, because you got to allow him to put you in your place.
Right.
But that place might be under somebody else who's in leadership over you in some way, shape, or form, and and submitting also to the gifting of other people to allow them to do their thing, and to you do your thing.
Yeah, and that goes back to the, you know, what you were talking about earlier about that order. You know, I mean, God is a God of order. He's not the God of chaos. He is a God of order, and there's an order and a structure, I believe, to everything.
Yeah.
And so finding your place in that order, you know, we're not all called to we don't, you know, everybody wants to be a chief, but we're not all called to be chiefs. And sometimes we have to submit to the chief so that the rest of the body can function properly, you know? And so where is your place in that? And that place can move, you know? He talks about there are instruments that are for noble use and in noble use. And, you know, but then he goes on to say those that are, for ignoble use can become ones for noble use. So, you know, that can change. And again, my paraphrase, don't.
Yeah. Well, one of the scriptures that I came across too is that, I can't remember, I have it in the 8th day book, but Paul, I think it's in Acts maybe 14, I'm going to say. Paul was working as a tent maker and he was doing ministry. He's doing both. But then it says when his partners finally arrived to wherever he was, he devoted himself exclusively to ministry. He stopped doing tent making at that point. And so it's this idea that he couldn't do that, though, until the other people around him were in position.
In place.
but he couldn't devote himself exclusively to his thing until the people around him were in the right position as well.
Yeah.
I don't know if
I think that goes back to what we were talking about earlier about wearing so many different hats. You know, I mean, if you feel that you don't have the people coming alongside of you to take on these other hats, you feel like you have to wear them all.
Yeah.
But when those people do come and you can pass that hat off and pass mm-hmm. that hat off, and then you're wearing the one hat that you were designed to wear all along.
And truth be told, when they take over that thing, they're probably better at it than you are.
Exactly. I
mean, that's how it works. Yeah. Or they're supposed to be anyway.
Yeah.
And so this, I was training a guy one time and we're doing pull-ups, and he asked me the question, hey, am I supposed to do these? Is it better to do these like super strict where I'm just using my arms, or is it better where I like fling my hips around and use my hips to propel me up there? And I said, well, it depends on your goal. I said, if we're just trying to build up the arms, then we just want to use the arms. I said, but if you get your whole body involved, you can put out way more power and you can do more of them.
Right.
So it depends on what our goal is.
Right.
So I think, I mean, ultimately where this is going, the body builds itself in love, is that when all of the parts are working together, you know, you get them all working together.
Yeah.
This unbelievable power can get displayed right. when everything is working together. And all the gifts are kind of in sync, and you got linking them up and working towards a common goal and those types of things.
Yeah.
It's kind of what I've seen from just a physical body, what can happen.
Right.
Just in the gym, what can happen.
Right.
With it. So I kind of think of that, the ultimate goal of community or assignment is that you're getting to the place. I think it's one level to find your unique thing, but then how do those things begin to connect with other people's
right.
thing to produce something that's even better than either one of you could do on your own.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. So mm-hmm. that community, as it builds, you know, you're gaining momentum, gaining strength, gaining yeah. power, if you will, mm-hmm. you know, to put the kingdom of darkness to flight, basically.
Yeah. When I think, and you might know the scripture, there's a scripture that talks about that one of the purposes of the church is that it would show the manifold power and wisdom of what God can do when you get all these people working together.
Yeah.
It's part of what we're supposed to be doing. Right. I forget the scripture for it, but I know it's in there somewhere.
Yeah. Don't put me on the spot.
Yeah. you got a lot of scriptures today, though. You had a lot of scriptures today. So what else, when you did this alignment for assignment, what anything else that was kind of some key points?
You know, just as I best can recollect, it was well over a year ago, I think we did that. But, you know, of course it was geared towards the church body, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. finding your place in the body so that the body can impact, if you will, the world. So how do you align yourself in the body so that this living organism can impact life around it? And I think that's important. And I think we, you know, it's a ministry of reconciliation, right? We're to be reconciling the lost world into their Savior, their Lord, Jesus Christ. So finding our part, getting in alignment with that, and then going out and taking that out. You know, that's kind of where the push was when we were talking about getting in alignment with your assignment. So how is it benefiting the kingdom of God?
Mm-hmm.
And how is it detrimental to the kingdom of darkness? What does that look like? Mm-hmm. What does that look like to each person, you know, individually? And then what does that look like as a church, a local church body? And then what does that look like the universal church, you know, mm-hmm. how is that working in that arena? So I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah. Well, it's not just about what's going on inside the church, I think, is what it's, you know,
yeah.
beyond the walls of the church, what's going on.
Get outside the four walls. Get outside the four walls. We weren't called to be inside four walls.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's where the building up, the perfecting, the equipping can come, but then you got to do something with it. You know? You got to take it out there. And that's, I think, with any assignment that anyone's fulfilling, whether it's in, you know, like we said, the secular world in business or politics or education or entertainment, whatever that may be, you know, you've got to recognize it and then do something with it. You mm-hmm. can't, you know, hold it to yourself. I think we're called to do something with it, to go out with it.
Well, one of the concepts we've talked about that I find interesting too is that, you know, the people in the church have a assignment, but we've talked about each church has a unique assignment.
As
well. So really we could be talking about what is each church's individual assignment and how do those churches fit together and work together almost in the local community, the local area, those types of things too.
You know, it's interesting because, you know, I've been meeting with two other pastors, you know, Jamie and Tulio, and we've been mm-hmm. talking and discussing that specifically. How do the local churches in the New River Valley, how do they work together mm-hmm. to fulfill the call of God on that church? I believe every church, you know, I don't know if you could, I don't know if I, this may be a stretch. I don't know if I can make this comparison, but just as each individual is a part, you know, in the body, I believe each church plays a part in the church universal. And so not every church is called to the same thing, right? I mean, you might have a church that is great with evangelism or, you know, feeding the hungry or feeding the poor. But that doesn't mean that every church has to be excellent at doing that. You may have another church that is great at building disciples, making disciples, you know, growing people up in the things of God. So, you know, finding its place in the universal body of Christ, and then how does that work with each other, the other churches, you know, in that community, I guess.
I think the same, it's one of the things I've learned about God is he uses scalable patterns. So the same pattern that you would use inside of the church is the same pattern that the churches could use to link up and get aligned together as a whole too.
Right. So getting over those, whatever's holding those churches back from working together, you know, mm-hmm. Whether it's doctrine or fear of losing members to other churches. I mean, you got to get beyond all that, right? It's bigger than that. There's a bigger picture.
Yeah. Well, I think when you start having those conversations, a lot of those fears come up of, well, they believe a little bit differently than we do, or, hey, are we going to lose people to that church? Or, hey, what's, you know, or what are people going to think if we're working together or whatever, you know?
Right. Yeah.
A lot of that stuff comes up. But
what, you know, again, what casts out that fear, that perfect love, right? So as you get to know, you know, these other pastors or these other members of the church, as you get to know them, and then that fear kind of dissipates and you can see yourself working together, I think, more than not. But
yep.
And it's a relationship, right? I mean,
yeah.
You can have a relationship with God. I mean, we talk about this all the time, getting from a place of religion to a place of a relationship with God. He's not about religion. He doesn't want, you know, he doesn't want you burning those rams and doves and burn offerings anymore. He wants relationship with us. And so I think that relationship translates to what we're talking about, you know, other churches having relationship with each other, members of a church having relationship with each other in love. And that's how the body is built up.
Yep. Well, you know, when we started doing the workouts with you guys from different churches, I just was doing what I felt like God was telling me to do, but I didn't realize that most of the churches didn't talk to each other.
No.
Yeah.
Typically not. I mean, there are some, you know, I guess groups out there or fellowships, but typically it's within their, you know, like the Methodists will meet with the Methodists.
Yeah.
Crossing those denominational lines and getting together, that was,
that's
what we needed, I believe.
Yeah. Well, Todd, I'm going to open this up and we'll let, see if Crystal has any questions here or anything like that here in a second. But, I appreciate you coming on here and joining me today. This has been good. This has been good. I do want to, one of these days, kind of work through this idea of community a little bit more with you one of these days too. But I'm going to let Crystal hop on here if she wants to. Crystal, you want to hop on for a second?
Oh, yeah. I think the key takeaway for me from this discussion, because I've been working with Dan on figuring out my purpose kind of next in life.